Bibles to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Book of Romans chapter number 8 tonight. We'll start reading tonight Romans chapter number 8 in verse number 31. The Lord began to birth this message in my heart back probably maybe a little over a week ago or maybe a couple weeks ago, I don't know, but just through some circumstances it's happening in our area, and so we'll look at what the Bible says here tonight. Verse number 31, the Bible says, "What shall we say, what shall we then say to these things? God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness, peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you tonight for loving us. God, we thank you for another opportunity we have to stand behind this sacred desk and, Lord, to preach your holy word. I pray you'd help us, cleanse me of my sin, Lord, and empty me of self. Fill me with all of your spirit. I pray, God, you'd help me to say nothing does not need to be said, but God, help me to say something and everything that does, and Lord, something that would help these people tonight. I pray that you'd bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to draw your attention, if I can, back to the first verse that we read, verse number 31. The Bible says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" The verse that I've just read to you has been recently under much scrutiny, if you will. It's been the subject of much controversy here in our area. In fact, if you've been paying attention lately to our local news media and our news outlets here locally, this verse was just a few days ago had been displayed on the wall inside of our Knoxville police headquarters, and it was a plaque on the wall, and it had this verse on it. However, it seems that there's some anti-religious group, really an anti-God group out of Wisconsin that had a problem with it. Somehow our verse here in Knoxville bothers them in Wisconsin. But they had a problem with this verse, and so all the way back in February they began to write letters to our mayor, to our police chief, and other folks in our community and in our government there locally. And they begin to write letters, begin to protest this Bible verse, and because of their protest, the plaque was taken down and was moved. When this plaque was moved, there were many people sounding off about it, many people voicing their opinion about it. In fact, there were many police officers and those that had a part or some kind of position there in the police department. Many of them were upset at this, as this verse was something that inspired them in the job that they had to do. Many of them gave testimony as many times they would head out of the police department to go and run their shift or patrol their land or whatever it was that they had to do that day. They would head out, they would reach up, and they would tap the top of that plaque as they would head out. Other words, as if to say, "I'm claiming this verse today as I work and do my job." It was a verse that was important to them. It was a verse that meant something to these officers. And by the way, I want to say every word of God ought to be something that's important to us. It ought to be something that means something to us. But in the job they did, this verse was specifically important to them. If God be for us, who can be against us? It seems, though, that the Knoxville City Law Director, Charles Swanson, did not share their feelings. I want you to listen here to a statement that he made to the Knoxville News Sentinel regarding taking down this verse. He says, "We could argue in favor of keeping it. What's the real point? I don't know that it was in a place where the public could see it, but it certainly didn't seem like it was worth financing a fight over." Can I just say, Mr. Law Director, the Word of God is always worth fighting for. Amen. Hey, there, friend, there's never a time. There's not enough. Boy, we waste money on lighting up Gay Street with cutter light for the gays, but we can't waste money. Oh, God help us. Listen, we can't spend the money to fight for the Word of God in our government buildings. Something's wrong with that, friend. Besides that, he just admitted that the public couldn't see it anyway. It was something, this was something that officers and was a benefit to them, and this verse being there, I want you to listen to what some of them said. One KPD deputy chief said in a testimony, he said, "I've walked through these doors for a lot of years, and that sign with that verse has been there giving me strength, encouragement, and comfort to do this job." Listen to what a retired KPD investigator who served on the force for 23 years had to say. He said, "I believe in Jesus. And I believe that when they turn their back on Jesus, that we're going to be in bad shape. I think that as wicked as our people are getting, I think that's the wrong thing to do, to take that off there." Then he said this, "Jesus has made a place for us." Boy, isn't that good. "But Satan's got a place for you too. And it gets awful hot in his place." He went on to say, "I like air conditioning awful well." It's easy to see that it hits home, it hits a very sensitive spot for these officers, and that this verse was something that had encouraged and empowered them and helped equip them to do their job and to endure the evil that they dealt with on a daily basis. And as I begin to think about this, I mean, why they make such a big deal about it, and what's the significant, what really is such, what's the big deal and all the fuss about Romans 8:31, what would we say to the law director that says it's not even worth fighting for? Well, you see, this verse meant something to these officers, and I want to tell you tonight, it certainly means something to me. What a wonderful thing it is to be reminded from time to time, if God be for us, who can be against us? I want to preach for the next 3 or 4 hours on this thought, what Romans 8:31 means to me. What Romans 8:31 means to me as I begin to look at this passage of Scripture and break it down and think about what in the world could be so powerful as to give these men and women, these officers that patrolled our streets, that could give them, equip them with what it took to do their job for that day. I begin to think about that and look at what the Word of God says. I want to say, first of all, about thinking about what Romans 8:31 means to me. Number one, it means that I can always count on God's power. I can always count on God's power. Look with me at verse number 31 again. "What shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things?" Watch what he says. "If God be for us," and then watch this word, "who can be against us?" One of the things that this verse reminds me of is you and I can always count on God's power. We can always count on the fact that His power is always enough. Let me tell you what these officers were reminded of and what they knew. They knew if they had God on their side, that there was not a man in this community that they needed to fear. Something that they understood every time they'd walk out that those doors and tap that sign or see that sign hanging there. Oh, if God be for us, who could be against us? They knew that there wasn't anything on the streets they would encounter. They knew there was nothing that was going to come into their life that day. There wasn't anything that was bigger than their God. And they understood that they could always count on His power and that His power would be enough. Oh, if God be for us, who can be against us? I love Isaiah chapter 54, verse number 17, that reminds us, it says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord." Listen to this. "And their righteousness is of me, God says. Their righteousness, I'm glad as long as my standing is right before a holy God, my standing does not matter what it is before a heathen man, but thank God that we answer to Him and our righteousness is of Him. Let me tell you what Romans 8:31 means to me. It means I can always count on His power no matter what may come against me, no matter what may be, what force may come up and rise up and go after me. No matter what we may face on a daily basis, we need to be reminded of the fact that we can always count, if God be for us, who can be against us? Because there's nothing nor anyone who trumps God. His power is always more than anything we'll ever face. I want to say, not only if God be for us, who can be against us? Not only Romans 8:31 means I can always count on God's power, but notice also, I can always count on God's provision. It means I can always count on God's provision. Notice with me verse number 32 in our text, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? I'm glad if God be for us, who can be against us, but He will provide for us. And aren't you glad tonight that we have a God that says, He even gives the illustration here, Paul, as he thinks about this, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. If He's done that, friend, you understand? He's already given a greater gift and done more than He'll ever have to do for you in this life in giving His Son. There'll never be a request that you'll make that'll be any greater than when He gave up His only begotten Son. Oh, and if God's done that for us, how in the world can He not supply your needs and meet your requests and demands and the things that you come against you in your life? How could God not be sufficient enough to know that His provision's going to work in your life to where there'll not be a need that He will not provide? Think about, I love as the psalmist David, Psalms 37:25, oh, I have been young, yet now I'm old, but I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. You know what David understood? He understood that God's always faithful. Oh, I love it how Joshua there at the end of his life, he said, and I go the way of all the earth, and you know in your hearts and your mind that not one thing that God promised, he said, all of it's come to pass, and not one thing has failed thereof. Thank God. One of the things Romans 8:31 means to me is it means I can always count on God's provisions. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. If He's done that, how shall He not freely? Oh, in other words, listen, you're not going to have to go and beg for it. You're not going to have to go and try to necessarily fight for it. It says, how shall He not freely give us all things? I'm reminded of Luke in chapter number 12. Jesus trying to make His disciples understand they're worried about everything. And He says to them, consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you, He said that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of the lilies of the field. Then He went on and said, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, and then tomorrow it's going to be thrown into the oven, how in the world would He not clothe you, O ye of little faith? I'm glad Romans 8:31 reminds me I can always count on God's provision. Buddy, He's already gave us the best first, and the rest is not a big deal to Him. You know what I'm glad about tonight? I'm glad tonight that God is not wringing His hands because of the economy. I'm glad He's not nervous or His stomach it tore up, but He's not drinking Pepto-Bismol or worried that something's fixing to crash. I'm glad He still owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And don't you like the fact that He owns the hills too? And the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwells therein. Oh, He has the means to meet my needs and meet your needs. And I can always count on God's provision. God be for us, who can be against us? He goes on in Luke chapter 12 and he says, and seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. Listen to this. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth ye have need of these things. The Lord knows your need. He knows where you are tonight. He knows what your bank account says tonight. He knows when your bills are due. He knows our need. And I'm glad that I can know if God be for us, who can be against us. I can always count on His provision. If God be for us, who can be against us? You know what it does? Romans 8:31 means to me, I can always count on His power. I can always count on His provision. I can always count on His protection. Look at verse number 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Once again, the only one that you and I have to worry about pleasing is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that justifies me. He's the one that justifies you. Oh, listen, I might stand guilty before man, but as long as I don't stand guilty before God, it reminds me I can always count on His protection. Nobody's going to bring anything against me. Already said, no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. That's a promise from God. You and I've learned over the years, boy, people bring in and throw the and shoot the fiery darts at you, but I've learned that, listen, they can slander you and they can talk about you and make false accusations, but I've come to learn that God always vindicates His servant. The truth always comes out in the end. I can always count on His protection. Not only who can God be for us, who can be against us? And not only who will provide for us, but who can accuse us? God's the one that justifieth. Think about how many nights Paul spent in jail. Buddy, he was in that jail. You think of the jail of Philippi. He wasn't weeping. He wasn't wailing. He wasn't worried. They weren't crying and going on and all tore up about it. Oh, listen, but they were singing praises to God, and they weren't consumed with fear. They were shouting and singing praises to the Lord, because you know why? Paul knew that if God was for him, there'd be nobody that could ever stand against him. He's in prison. They're going to prosecute him. But Paul knew, if God be for me, who can be against me? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? There's protection. The psalmist knew where his protection lay. Psalms 27, verse 1, psalmist says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If God be for us, who can accuse us? He's the one that justifies. In fact, you remember Paul. It was Paul who said, my sufficiency is of God. The fact of the matter is, tonight, you would agree with me, I'm sure, that everybody, unless something's wrong with you, you want people to like you. You want people to be accepted of you. You want to be accepted of people, and you want people to accept you for who you are and those things, and you want them to like you, and all that's fine and good. But the reality is tonight, and the fact of the matter is, whether you like me or not doesn't really matter. What matters is what the Lord thinks about me. It's not what man thinks about me. Oh, listen, I'm glad tonight that my sufficiency is not the people in this room. My sufficiency is not somebody in this world, but I'm glad tonight that my sufficiency is of God. God, and I know what He's called me to do. I can always count on His protection. Not only that, Romans 8:31, what it means to me, I can always count on the Lord's pardon. Look at me at verse number 34. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Can I just tell you, it's Christ who shed His blood at the cross of Calvary. Can I tell you this? He's the one who suffered the shame. He's the one who paid the price. He's the one who paved the way. He's the one who's interceding, the Bible says right now, at the right hand of God for you and I. In other words, if God be for us, who can condemn us? Romans 8:1, just back the very first part of this passage right here, you can read the verse. There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. One of the things I'm glad about tonight, friend, is I can always count on His pardon. Oh, it doesn't matter where I've been or what I've done. It does not matter how I may slip up or mess up or get out in some kind of besetting sin. I'm glad there's a blood. I'm glad that He's already shed it. And He says if we'll confess our sins, He's going to be faithful and just, forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm glad there's a God that's interceding on my behalf to pardon me. Can always count on His pardon. If God be for us, who can be against us? Not only that, but I want you to notice what Romans 8:31 means to me is I can always count on His presence. Look at verse 35 starting. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're not just conquerors, but we're more than conquerors. How? Through Him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who shall separate us from the love of God? If God be for us, you'll know something, thank God, I don't ever have to worry about being separated from Him even for a moment. I don't ever have to worry about Him not being by my side. If God be for us, I'm glad there's... Oh, can you imagine as those officers would walk out and they look at that plaque and they're going out into a world that's wicked and they're going out and they're dealing with the drug dealers and they're dealing with, half the time, the mob or whoever else, all the wicked people out on the streets and some of the worst rejects of society as they go out and they left their home and they left their family as they go out there into this wicked world and they read, if God be for you, who can be against us? And they're reminded of the fact that there's an almighty God that loves them and there's nothing going to come against them that night that's going to separate them from the love of God. Aren't you glad no matter where you are, no matter what you may be going through, there'll never be a time, there'll never be a place, oh, there'll never be a trial or a storm that's going to separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. I'm glad tonight we have the assurance that not life nor death, not angels, not principalities, powers, things to come, any of those things, none of it will ever separate us from His wonderful love. If God be for us, who can be against us? You know what? If God be for us, I don't need to worry about opposition. You know why? I have His power. Who can be against us? Aren't you glad that we claim the power of the Lord? Aren't you glad that we can claim and plead the blood of Christ when Satan tries to attack us? We plead the blood. If God be for us, I don't have to worry about opposition. If God be for us, I don't have to worry about situations. I have His provisions. Oh, I don't have to worry about He says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Oh, if God be for us, we don't have to worry about those things because we know He's going to take care of us. We don't have to worry about opposition or situation. We don't have to worry about accusations. Why? Because I have His protection. God be for us, I don't have to worry about any condemnation because I have His pardon. If God be for us, I don't need to worry about separation because I have His presence. Why is it that these officers were so discouraged when this verse was moved? Why is it that it was so important to them? I'll tell you why. Because every single day of their life, it was a reminder to them that if they were saved, they could always count on the Lord's power. Oh, listen, they would face things, no doubt about it, on a daily basis that was much bigger than they were. They would face things that was much further than what they could handle or much more. Oh, how many times were they outgunned, outnumbered? How many times would there way more of them than there are of us? But if God be for us, who can be against us? And as they thought about that, they always could count on His power. These men, these officers, they could always count on His provision. Many times, many of them, I know several police officers, and many times they sacrifice to just be able to do the job they do. They get paid pennies. They don't make very much money. And many of them work two or three other jobs just so they can work that job and do a service in our community. And they went out, they go out and they sacrifice, but you know what they did? They'd go out and they knew, I know some way I can count on God, I can count on Him to provide for my family and meet my needs. If God be for us, who can be against us? And they would see that and be reminded they can count on God's provisions. They could always count on the Lord's protection. See that going out, and they think about, as I said, no doubt we're going to face some things where we're going to be the underdogs. But no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And lastly, they could always count on His presence. These are some comforting things to be reminded of when you head out every single day as they did in a world plagued by evil and sin. But let me remind you, while we may not deal with it the way these police officers do, every one of us, every day, have to walk through this wicked world. And I'm glad that we have these promises to comfort us on our journey. If God be for us, who can be against us? I wonder tonight who's forgotten that you can always count on God's power. I wonder tonight, maybe you're facing something that's bigger than you are. Maybe you're facing a dilemma that's much greater than anything you can imagine. You see any way over it or under it or around it, and it's something that's a whole lot bigger than you are. Well, you see, you're measuring with the wrong stick. Don't look at how much bigger your problem is than you. Oh, look at how much bigger your God is than your problem. If God be for us, His power, who can be against us? Maybe somebody's here and you've forgotten you can always count on God's provision. Maybe you're worried about a certain financial need. Something's arose in your life, something that you don't have no way to meet that demand or that need. Look at verse 32 again. He that spared not His own Son but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Listen, God's not going to leave you alone, destitute. He's already given His own Son. Maybe somebody's concerned with protection. Somebody's thrown out accusations. Somebody's thrown out, tried to slander you or tried to hurt your testimony or hurt your character or maybe even make you lose your job, and accusations have been thrown out. I'm glad we have the promise. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Maybe the devil is on somebody's shoulder tonight. He's trying to convince you. He's in your ear about your pardon. He's trying to convince you that you're lost. He's trying to convince you that you're not even saved. And maybe there's somebody here that struggles with their pardon and what the salvation that they know the Lord saved them, but maybe you've gotten caught up in something that you shouldn't have been caught up in, and now the old devil's on your shoulder saying, boy, you wouldn't have done that if you wasn't saved, and he's trying to convince you that you've never been pardoned. But I'm glad there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Maybe there's somebody here who feels alone. You feel like you have no one and that no one cares. Maybe somebody's here and you think, maybe God stopped loving me because I'm living my life. He never has, and He never will, because nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. Never, ever, ever forget. As you go through this life, as you walk through this world, as you face another day tomorrow, if God be for us, who can be against us? Aren't you glad that we know we can count on His power? We know we can count on His provision. We know we can count on His protection and His pardon, and especially His presence. No matter where we may find ourselves, what Romans 8:31 means to me is I can count on God. He's for me. I don't have anything else to worry about. Amen? Let's stand for prayer tonight.